guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And today on the podcast, we are interviewing one boss girl, and her name is Maha Abulanin. And she is an Egyptian-American communications strategist. She's an entrepreneur. She wrote this book right here, Seven Rules of Self-Reliance. And she's pretty amazing. I've been following her for a year. So to see this book launch has been really gratifying for me also. She's the founder and CEO of Digital and Savvy. And she's been in both the US and in Dubai. And she's influencing so many top tech companies and high profile entrepreneurs, including working with Google and Netflix and Udacity and Kareem. And she previously served as global communications and public policy head for Google. And she's widely recognized on the global stage as someone who's going to teach us so many important things about what we can do, not only as women, but as entrepreneurs and things we need to make ourselves more self-reliant. Welcome to the podcast, Maha.
Thank you for having me. I'm so grateful to be here.
Yes. Okay. Well, first of all, what made you decide to write a book?
Well, I've always loved books. I read books all the time. I collect books. I am a big avid reader. And I really wanted to tell my story in a different format than through social media or people that I meet. And I didn't want to write a book about what I do. I've been a communications executive for about 30 years, entrepreneur for 20. I wanted to do a book about how I did it and what are some of the lessons that I learned that other people can benefit from that have been tested and tried and have yielded successful results.
And so you had a background of growing up in the Middle East and Dubai, and then the culture where I think it's harder for women to make those kind of big steps and progress. What are some difficulties that you've encountered along the way?
Yeah, so I'm born and raised in Minnesota. I lived here my whole life until I was 27. And then I ended up moving to Egypt, mostly because of, for personal reasons, my mother was very sick. She had multiple sclerosis. So I was kind of taking care of her with my father at the time. And 27 years old, young professional, had a great job here in the US, moved to Egypt, don't know anybody, don't have relationships, don't have any networks, have to find my first job, really wanted to work for an American company in Cairo. Couldn't find a job at a P&G, a Coca-Cola, Unilever, one of those big American multinational firms. Ended up getting a job as a secretary for a billionaire. And I thought at the time, like it was like a role that I was overqualified for, that I have my master's degree. I worked for one of the hottest companies, General Mills, one of them working on the IT brands like Wheaties and Betty Crocker. Why would I want to take a role like that where I felt like it wasn't ambitious or challenging enough for me? But my father gave me some advice, which turned out to be the best advice, which is like, you just moved here. You don't really know anybody. If I were you, I'd take the job. It's a good learning ground. Learn how to network, learn about Egyptian business culture, and really try to find a way to integrate into how people operate and what they need and what they value. And then put your head down and put the hard work in, and then you can ask for something you want. But only after you decide to take a step back just to integrate and get, you know, have a chance to learn about the business community and how things work. And I did. And it ended up being a move that changed my life forever. I took a job I thought I was overqualified for. It was a great learning ground for me. It helped teach me how to be humble, how to network, how to build relationships, how to learn, how to lean into doing something you're not comfortable doing. And it ended up being a really good move for me.
So now rule number one is to stay low and keep moving. I love that. Yeah. I always tell my kids, stay in your lane. Don't be distracted by people around you.
Yeah, the distractions around us can kill our ability to meet any of our goals, right? There's always these distractions, like people wanting you to do things that are important to them, but that aren't important to you, but you feel obligated, so you're doing them. People doubting you, people telling you you shouldn't do this. Like, are you really sure you want to do that? Like, it's your life. Don't be distracted. Stay low means like stay under the water and focus on what you care about. Otherwise, you'll never get it done. You're constantly going to get pulled by the demands of life, family obligations, work obligations, social obligations, which you need to meet, but you can't say yes to everything and then wonder why you're not accomplishing your goals or your ambitions in life. And keep moving, because you're going to have setbacks. You're going to have bad days. You're going to have, you're going to have things that happen because life is messy. It's not like a linear line up and to the right. There are bumps in the road. And so just try to stay focused, but understand that you're going to have to push through some days where you kind of feel like you can't do it, or you don't want to do it, or you're not able to do it, and move forward anyways.
That must have been very hard, since you did have, family that had health issues. It must have been hard to keep your focus when you're pulled in so many directions. As a woman, I think also I've found it's very hard to be a good wife, a good mother, a good, and then come to work and, you know, change into my second job description.
And be the doctor. Yeah, I think everybody goes through that, like where we're trying to balance a lot at the same time. And it's like how you spend your day and how you hack your week and your schedule can really make a profound impact on your productivity and your happiness. So what can you do in looking at your schedule to carve out a little bit of time for yourself? 15 minutes here, 30 minutes here, either working on a project, learning something new, investing in yourself by listening to a podcast while you're out for a walk, learning from somebody over a cup of coffee, like all of those moments that you have in your schedule, if you can start to carve out time to do the things you want to do, because you do balance, like you said, so many roles. You're a mother, you're a wife, you're a doctor, you do so many things. How you spend your schedule will help dictate how the outcomes of your happiness and things you want to care about getting done actually get done.
Were there any really important mentors or people in your life that kind of guided you through some of these challenges?
Yeah, I mean, so many. My father was a big part of my life and a big part of his moral compass on how we focus on investing in ourselves and being strong. So like he said, no one can ever take away what's between your two ears. Like, yeah. You have to be smart. You have to think about how you can acquire the most knowledge, because no one can ever take that away from you. My sister, a big mentor in my life, like her ability to be disciplined and focused and, you know, ambitious. And she's a chemical engineer. Like, she's very smart, taking on very difficult topics and subjects, and seeing how she, you know, pushed through and did that as a mother as well, was really inspiring for me.
How has it been to like find employees and staff to work with that kind of embody your passion and your drive? Because sometimes
you
have that, but you have to recreate it in your mini clones that all around you.
Yeah. I mean, building culture and organization is hard, right? You want to bring in people who share the same values that you have. You try to infuse in your ways of working with others, with clients and with partners and with other customers, how you conduct yourself so they can see it live and in action and how it's being played out in real time. And I feel like hiring people, you really look for skills. I don't really look at, like, you know, their experience and their CV and their job titles. I really look for, are they adaptable? It's like a big skill I look for, adaptability. If they're adaptable, they're willing to learn, they're willing to grow, they're willing to switch gears, they're willing to try new things, they're willing to put in hard work. So I think you look at, you know, those kinds of skills when you're hiring people. You look for things like, are they empathetic? Are they team players? Are they kind? You know, a lot of things has changed in the way that we think about hiring people nowadays. Before, it was like where you went to school determined who you're going to become. And your address was a big part of how people perceived you. And I think that, you know, finding someone who has a degree in your sector or has worked directly in your sector. Now we like having people from different walks of life and thought, because that brings more diversity in ideas to the table, versus everyone who comes from the same path, who has the same way, probably is going to have groupthink. And so you just don't want to promote that.
That kind of goes along with one of your other lessons, which is to be a value creator, because you can bring people from any walk of life as long as they're like really creating and passionate about what they do. So
rule number two of the book is how to create value for others. Be a value creator. And I think about, what does that mean? Like, when I meet you, Dr. K, like, how can I create value for you? What are some of the things that I think you care about? I start to ask you, starts with a simple question: how can I help? What are the things that you are interested in? What are your ambitions, your goals, maybe problem areas? I might be able to introduce you to someone or solve it by making a connection or sharing an article or anticipating a problem you have or solving a problem you have. If you can find ways to create value for other people, it's a very powerful thing because they want to keep you around because you're bringing something to the table that no one else is thinking for them or offering for them or building for them.
I'm sure you have a quote that said, Pablo Picasso said, the meaning of life is to find your gift and the purpose of life is to give it away. That's so truly meaningful, I think.
Yeah, you have to learn how to create value for other people because you ultimately, and I talk a lot about this in the book, like you ultimately create value for yourself. Like you get the experience, you understand, you get the learning. And every time I've tried to create value for somebody, I learned and grew from it so much. I'm like, okay, there's somebody that's very important that I want to get to do business with. How can I create value for them so they can see my intentions, how authentic I am, what I care about, what my skills are, what my secret sauce is? That's what makes a difference. And when you're able to prove it to somebody, you ultimately prove it to yourself.
When you're working with brands these days, what's kind of one of the biggest mistakes that companies or individuals are making when it comes to their PR and branding?
I mean, I think a lot of people don't realize how important it is to build your personal brand. And people think that it's a social media influencer thing, that it's a self-promotion thing. It's actually not. It boils down to your reputation. If you have a job or a social media account, you need to be thinking about your personal brand. It's how you show up at work, how you show up in your communities, how you show up in general. It's your reputation. How do you want people to treat you? How do you want people to perceive you? And be intentional about it. A lot of people are like, oh, I just have a reputation. I can't do anything about it. I'm like, everything you say and do can shape that reputation. And if you focus on building it, it'll bring you opportunities. Mm-hmm. It'll bring you more relationships. It'll bring you more money. It'll bring you more opportunities, period.
Very true. Well, you just came from Super Bowl, where I'm sure
I just got back a couple hours ago. Yep.
Yeah, there were so many brands and commercials putting themselves out there in the digital noise of the world. How does a brand truly stand out when there's so much information thrown at the consumer and the customer on a daily basis now that we're in?
Yeah, it's such a great question. I think it's good storytelling. Like, I don't want to be talked to. I don't want to be, you know, a lot of the best commercials or brands that stood out at the Super Bowl for me were the ones that connected with me, either emotionally or, you know, they educated me around something or they inspired me. I think people can tell a good story when they see it, and people can tell when they're being sold to. And there's a difference between storytelling and selling. Mm-hmm. Don't be selling, be focusing on telling stories.
So true. I liked the Haagen-Dazs commercial and the Not So Fast, Not So Furious, where they're in the
car. I haven't seen it, but my sister works on that. Her company works on, owns Haagen-Dazs. So I have to make sure I get a chance to check
it. Well, tell her, great job. That was like, it was the guy from Fast and Furious, and instead of running around in his convertible, he was just cruising and eating his Haagen-Dazs with his cute.
Oh, dog. I got to see that. I love Haagen-Dazs too.
So cute. You've worked with Gary Vee. I love him to death. Do you feel like his branding ideas really resonate with today's youth and crowd?
Yeah, I mean, Gary's very practical. Like, he talks a lot about why you should not be happy based on other people's opinions. Like, you're just trying to spend your time either spending money on things to impress people, or you're in a job that you're not happy doing. And he's just like, life is too short. Focus on the things that you care about. He also has a really good message and perspective on our relationship with time. Mm-hmm. That a lot of people think I have to have it everything figured out by the time I'm 30. Like, our relationship with time, people don't get started until they're in their 40s and 50s. Mm-hmm. And that's when you have experience. That's when things get good. And so I think I love that about his message and his story, that I think resonates a lot with people.
That's very true. I think people just begin to figure out who they are and have the
confidence. Yeah, and what they care about, and they get experience and all that kind of stuff.
That's so true. What are some reflection exercises that you ask people to ask themselves, important questions, so they can understand, you know, their purpose, their brand, and their passion?
Yeah, I mean, I think it starts with, like, what are your values? What do you really care about the most? And how can you find purpose that aligns with that? Like, what can you be doing every day, or, you know, in either your personal life or your professional life, that aligns with that? And I feel like if you know what you care about and you try to find a way to live that through your work, I think that's when you nailed it on the head.
Yeah, it's true. Was it difficult writing a book? Was this like a painstaking process? When did you find time to
Actually,
write?
it wasn't that hard. I had been always wanting to write a book. I've been talking about it forever, but again, I was distracted. I wasn't staying low. I wasn't keeping moving. I'm like, if I really care about this goal, am I ever work? Am I working on it and carving out time to do it? And the process of writing the book was like, I don't know. I knew generally what I wanted to talk about, but just organizing the thoughts and magically came out to be seven rules. Seven is my favorite number. My birthday is on the seventh. So just it took about 6 or 7 months to do the framing and thinking through the chapters and kind of how I wanted to do it. And then when I finally just finished the book proposal and sat down to write it, it took me about 2 months. And I really wanted to focus. Like I knew that it wouldn't be something that I could just like, oh, I'll work on it for like a week and put it away for a couple of weeks. Like if you have ambition to accomplish a major accomplishment or goal, you really need to like say goodbye to like watching Netflix every night and hanging out with friends every night. Like you need to just prioritize it. And I did that. And that's why I was able to get it done. I was like, okay, on the weekends, I wouldn't just slave in front of my computer both days, but I was like, okay, I'm gonna have to carve out a whole afternoon or maybe a couple hours every single day on the weekend to make sure I can get this done. And when you chip away at it, it becomes really fun, and then you're like really into it. And so it was a fun process for me.
Was it like a whole family project? Did everyone get involved?
Not really. I just kind of hunkered in my own place and kind of got it done and mapped out what kind of stories I wanted to tell. I wanted to be really practical, some of the advice, and really give people competitive edge, but I wanted to also share a lot of stories personally from me so that you can see them coming to life, like illustrating for people. And that's one of the feedback I've got. It's like the stories are so good, like so interesting.
Sure.
I said, well, those are a lot of things I wanted people to understand to see how they could bring these rules to life because they will change your life. So many people have read the book now, have been texting me, and that's why we're a bestseller, is the book has a profound impact on them.
Yeah, congratulations on being a bestseller.
Thank you.
Your first book.
Thank you.
This is amazing. Do you feel like sections in this book are applicable to women, young women specifically, who are joining tech or getting into communications and
Yeah, I mean, this
have
book is
special
for anyone with
talents?
ambition. It works for my niece who's 22 years old, who wants to learn how to build relationships and learn how to create value from others in a very young age and invest in herself. And it works for my sister who's been 35 years working at General Mills as an executive, just to learn things about how to invest in yourself using technology. Everything on the internet is for free. How to be value creator, how to build relationships and build a network. I really believe that this is a book that helps not just women. I mean, a lot of men are reading this book and loving it as well. And I really believe in the power of simplicity and making sure people really understand the concept. And if you could understand it, you can build a habit around it. If you build a habit around it, you can change your life and your mind.
What are some tips for networking when you enter a crowded room, you're at a cocktail party, you don't know a single person? How do you make that a worthwhile event for yourself?
Yeah, I mean, this is the biggest thing that a lot of people ask me about because I love to network. And networking for a lot of people, especially if you're an introvert, it's just daunting. Like walking into a room, you don't know anybody. So I have a couple tips that I give people, and I have a full playbook in the book that I'd love people to check out. But it starts with like preparing before you go to an event. Don't walk in cold and say, well, I wonder who I'm going to meet. Look at the agenda. Look at who's speaking. Find out which sessions you want to attend. Make sure you map where they are in case there's multiple sessions happening at the same time. So first one is prepare. Make a list of who you'd like to connect with. Secondly is think about how you want to introduce yourself or thought starters of questions you want to ask people. So you don't get that anxious feeling, right when you get to an event and you're like, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to introduce myself. I don't know what to ask. Do all of that thinking beforehand. I do that too. I'm like, think through a couple of things. I want to make sure I ask people, like, what brought you to this event? What's the most important thing that's happening that you're focused on in your business or your work? Like, really think about it. That way, it takes all the angst of having to like think of it on the spot and awkward conversations. And think through when people ask, what do you do? What are the two things you want them to remember? Like, because you're not going to have that bandwidth because you're going to meet multiple people. So, I think for me, the biggest advice I can give people is preparation. Really prepare for your event in advance. When you meet somebody, and this is something I did all weekend at the Super Bowl, I meet somebody, I exchange numbers. I'm like, hey, can we take a selfie so I can remember? Take a selfie, text them that photo. That way they have my photo in their phone and they will always recall me. And then the second thing, so first thing is prep. Second thing is do that photo thing if you get their numbers. The third thing is I add them immediately on LinkedIn and Instagram. So connect with them through social immediately afterwards, send them a DM so that they can connect with you. And then last but not least, it's that follow up and the follow through. What are you going to do to follow up and follow through? Do you want to send them a message? Do you want to send them an email? Do you want to ask for a meeting? Do you want to send them something that you discussed? Those are like the four key things that I would advise people to do. If they're going to an event, don't know anybody, prepare. If you connect with them, take their photos, send them that selfie, add them on social media. Third and four, follow up and follow through.
That's a great idea. I love the selfie one. I'm going to have to try that. We do
a lot of selfies all the time.
They end up in my camera roll, but I should immediately text that over. But the other hard thing is just remembering to, like, when you get back from a trip, so much hits you, like the office has all these calls and things to catch up at home. And then to remember, like, you know, follow up, email, make it, get some.
Yeah. So one of the things I do too, since I just got back from the Super Bowl where I was meeting a lot of people, is in my notes in my phone, I take notes of every day of just, because then I got back, now I'm like, I have a list of all the people I met, what is a follow up that needs to be done, because it is a lot. Like I met like 16, 17 people that I really want to connect with deeply and do business. It's like, it's a lot of follow up, right? So you have to just make sure that you're keeping track of things along the way and then carve out time in your schedule, 30 minutes when you get back here, what do I need to do to like bang out a bunch of emails to people or set up calls? Like that's the key. Mm-hmm. A lot of people will make the effort, will meet the person, will make the connection, and then it just dies. You really have to follow up and follow through.
It's challenging. And then there's only so many hours in the day. Do you have like a personal assistant or someone who helps keep you so organized? Are you using Slack?
Yeah. So for me, I feel like I have a great team of people that help me. Like I have an admin, a part-time admin that helps me, but I have team members. We don't use Slack. We use WhatsApp mostly for communicating. I'm a small firm. I don't have that many employees, but I really believe that you have to find a system or tool that works for you and that fits your culture. So I might just text my admin or email my admin, like, here, save this contact, or here's the follow-up, but use the tools and resources that exist for you. And also you can hack a lot of things through Google Calendar or whatever calendar system you use to keep yourself organized.
Do you think you're an introvert or an extrovert?
Me, I'm definitely an extrovert.
Okay, good. It shows you're very vibrant. What's your advice about using AI and technology going forward? Are you guys incorporating that into your strategy and flow?
I think it's important. I think everyone needs to lean in and learn and start using it and trying it. A lot of times we're afraid of technology that we're unfamiliar with. So how much time can you spend getting to use these tools to see how they can help your business, help you with productivity, help you with research, help you with connecting with other people by understanding what they do? Like I just use it as a valuable tool every single day.
Yeah, I think it's so critical. Like it does actually improve, you know, your resourcefulness and self-reliance because it's powerful tools we have at our fingertips now.
Yeah, the thing that's interesting, Doctor, is that there's so much that's out there that's available to all of us, equal playing field for free, that we can take advantage of. And I feel that's the thing that would be very valuable, is if people understood that power of that free tool that they can use for any of the things that they're interested in doing.
So true. What's some advice if you're an entrepreneur and you're wanting to scale your business using kind of strategic communications and, you know, what you do in your line of work?
Yeah. I think if you're an entrepreneur and you want to scale your business, you have to learn the number one skill right now is how to communicate, mm-hmm. how to be a good storyteller, how to reach audiences, how to build trust. And people follow people, they don't follow companies. So your personal brand of you, your team members, your employees are really important to invest in. Mm-hmm. Really important.
I was just going to say it's challenging because, I mean, I have a big social media presence and a lot of people follow our page. And like, I feel like on the threshold of I could do more and be bigger, but I kind of just don't know how to go to that next level.
Yeah, I think you just need to be, you know, even what the platforms that you're doing it on, just consistency is key, like educating your audience, providing value, you know, really listening to what they care about and delivering that. That consistency comes. You just have to put in the reps over time and time and time again.
Very true. Are you a big fan of using paid ads, advertising dollars to get your messaging out?
I'd never done it before. I did the book where I did do some paid advertising because I wanted to reach new audiences to tell them about my events and my book. But I believe like if you do good content, good storytelling, you don't need to pay for ads. But if you have a specific event or activity that you're working on, I'm not the expert, that's for sure.
Actually, I saw that you came to Pasadena to Vroman's bookstore, and
I did that night.
I love the Vroman's bookstore, by the way. It's a very old and wonderful bookstore, but
I love that bookstore. I did my book event there, doing my book tour, book launch, Vroman's.
I'm sure it was very successful.
I loved it. There was a great turnout that night.
If you could give one piece of advice to your younger self, what would that be? I'm sure you hate that question, but.
No, I think like just like you, when you're younger, you just feel like you have to have it all figured out. Like, what's my plan? What am I doing? What's my career? What are my steps? You don't know. Let life evolve and carry you and tell you where you need to go. Like, don't over dramatize any of the decisions that you make. Like, you make a decision and you think, oh, you know, what if I made the wrong decision? Yeah. There is no such thing as a wrong decision. You make a decision with the information you have and then pivot and make another one.
That's very true. Are there some key habits that are, you know, essential to your success? Like as a person, what kind of habits and routines, whether it's beauty, health, longevity, wellness, what are things that make you really grounded and successful?
Yeah, a couple things. One, my dog is a big part of my routine and grounding me. I love that. I think spending time with my pet is important to me. I serve on the Animal Humane Society here in Minnesota, so I love that. Secondly, I move every single day. I walk a lot. And I feel like first thing I do when I get up is I try to go get on the treadmill and walk. Just like it's winter now, so it's cold to go outside. But like moving is therapy in a way, because it just gets your blood flow and your oxygen going. And I think it's really important that you move a lot. I think that's a big part of my mental health as well as having that. And then I have once a week, I have a no meeting Wednesdays where I don't do any meetings with anybody. Like I don't want to do calls. I want to use that time to like think and strategize. It's a big part of my, you know, routine of things that I do, that are hacks that I like to do as well. And then I read a lot. I do spend that quiet time reading. It's a time to focus, no distractions, being still. And I really value that.
If you could add an eighth rule to your book after going through this book tour, writing this book. And
oh, no one's asked me this question. That's such a good one. Rule number eight.
Or book number two.
Yeah. I mean, give yourself grace. I think a lot of people, one of the rules is just to take it easy on yourself. We're always judging ourselves and really, really, really kind of finding it hard to take it easy on ourselves. Like the negative talk that we tell ourselves is more overwhelming than what we're hearing from the outside world.
So true. The power of being mindful and manifesting and the.
Yeah. Just like saying good things to yourself. Like it matters.
It really does. Yeah. That's a great, give yourself grace. I like that as a concluding chapter.
Yeah, rule number eight.
Well, I'm so delighted that you came onto the podcast. Guys, if you're out there and you haven't already read these,
please get a copy of the book and join my community. Yes.
Yeah, you're going to love
it. I do a free newsletter where I give a lot of tips and tricks away for free. I do online coaching. I do a lot of, we're launching an online workshop to teach people how to build their personal brands, but I have coaching classes and I do a lot of stuff that I do, outside of my communications, like a consulting firm for a lot of the consumers. And I really would love to connect with anyone. If you read the book, ask me a question. I'm the one who answers the DMs. I'm the one online. Go to my website and join my newsletter. I'd love any feedback you guys or questions you have. I will answer them.
I love that. And Maha, where can people find you? What's your website? What's your social handles?
Digitalandsavvy.com is my company website. Mahabulanan, which is my first name, last name.com is where you can kind of subscribe to my newsletter. And I'm on LinkedIn doing a ton of stuff. My handle is my name at Maha Gaber on Instagram.
I love it. And are you lecturing coming up soon anywhere on the West Coast?
I am not, but I will keep you posted. I need to come out to do a talk at USC, so I'm going to plan a California trip very soon.
Oh, wonderful. Well, there you have it, guys. That is 7 rules of self-reliance from a very self-reliant, very successful, amazing communicator.
Thank
Maha,
you, Dr. K.
a pleasure. That's it
Pleasure is all
for
mine. So
yes.
grateful. All
Thanks.
right, I need all my skin tips.
I know. Well, I will definitely send you a little care
You're
packet.
sweetest. You're sweetest. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for tuning in, guys. Don't forget to find me on my website is beautybydrk.com, where you can find our amazing skincare and collagen and our Instagram, which is Beauty by Dr. K. That's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful and self-reliant.